You're listening to Dropping the Gloves with former NHL All-Star John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts and delivered by DoorDash.
Finally, we're in process. Spencer Knight is here. Tim Wurzberger is here. And I'm here. Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Dropping the Gloves. We're very excited you're here. I'm excited because Spencer Knight is here. One of the most exciting NHL debuts in not even modern-day history. I would say NHL history. He's got the look. He's got the flair. He's got the style. The kid is total buns. He's unbelievable. Spencer Knight, thanks for joining the show, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Me too. Before we got on the show, Spencer and Tim were educating me on all the new hip lingo. The kid, Spencer is ew. He's buns. He's everything, man. He's a bot. He's wheeling and dealing, baby. I love it. I love the new lingo when the kids come on. Right, Spencer? Did I get it all right?
I think so. I think sticking with just, proper English is probably the best way to go, but
I agree. It's just I try to stay relevant. I really do. But when we I'm almost 40 for Pete's sake. I could be your father.
Yeah, you gotta adopt. Adapt and change, or what do they say?
I need to adopt you. Is that what you just said?
No, you gotta adapt to the change in culture.
It's so hard. My oldest is 10 right now and she doesn't get the lingo just yet, but I want to be able to just, when she says something, I know what she's saying. So I'm going to have to rely on you young kids because it just changes every day, Tim. It really does. Spencer told me like three words. I had no idea what he was talking about. So I'm learning something, which is good. Right?
I'm still new every day.
Every day. Well, thanks for coming on, Spencer. You're in Charlotte right now, correct?
Yep. Downtown Charlotte. So
how was life? You broke into the scene last year. You took the world by storm with the Florida Panthers. It's been a whirlwind couple years for you. You know, from the World Juniors to BC, coming from Connecticut, you're just a young kid. Have you had a chance to just take a breath? Or are you still just your head spinning? You're going up, you're Florida, you're Charlotte, you're this and that. You're a hot commodity. Have you had a chance to just sit back and just take stock? You're only 20 and be like, whoa, I was a first round draft pick, won gold at the World Juniors. We'll talk about all these things, but Do you realize where you're at in your life right now? Is it kind of cool?
Yeah. I think over the summer, once the season ends, that's when I think you have time to reflect on what happened. Right. Cause a lot of stuff that, like you said, World Juniors or the Florida stuff from last year all happened within a couple months, right? It all happens, from January 1st of last year to, maybe the beginning of May or something around there. And, when you're going, it's just like, you're just going, you win gold at World Juniors and then you're on a plane going back to BC to play a game in a couple of days. Right. And so you get a little time to kind of soak things in, but over the summer, I kind of thought about it and, I try my best to just, and I've always thought this too, people want to just you're doing so well. It's it's really just a couple games, and I think that's the thing I've always looked at it is just, I've had times where I felt just as good in my career, but no one really notices just because, maybe there's some things out of my control or not as much in the spotlight as you are in Florida or World Juniors. And that's what I've said. I always kind of just said, it's just playing hockey. And at the end of the day, it's kind of just what it is. So.
Yeah, there's one thing about just playing hockey, Spencer. There's another thing to do it on a pretty, pretty big stage. Let's just call a spade here. You went into the World Juniors dominated. You played out of this world. You shut down Canada, who was a juggernaut going in. And then you step in and you just jump into a playoff, set an NHL record, getting your first win in the play. You did a lot of stuff at the biggest stage. So I can hear in your tone of voice, you don't get rattled. You don't get frazzled very often. I can tell just by meeting you for 10 minutes. You're a pretty cool, calm, and collected dude. Was there any moment, and I'm jumping way far ahead. We have an agenda. I'm just throwing out the window right now.
Okay.
was there any moment where you're like, holy cow, I'm going to start a game in the playoffs, this is insane, or this is the gold medal game versus Team Canada, what am I doing here? Or are you just like, oh, it's just another game? Just another game?
You know, I think in alluding to your point on World Juniors, you know, is it, the semis and the gold medal game are, they're back-to-backs, right? And we had the later games. So our game was at like 7:30 or 8, I think. So for the semifinals, and you know, the next one was be at 7:30 the next day. So you don't have a lot of time really to think that, oh my gosh, we're going to play Canada. Mm-hmm. You we're playing Finland one on the day before, and like, you can't look past Finland, right? And because that's the thing, right? You can't look past them. So I kind of like that. Is I've always said, it's when you're playing more and you're not thinking about stuff, it's like you're just going, right? You're not thinking about who you're playing against. And against Tampa, I think it was just, it was at the end of the year, and you know, I had a feeling that I might play at game six. We're coming back from Tampa, and you know, our goalie coach Rob Tallis told me on the plane, and I was like, all right, well, I guess we're going. And it was nice. I had my dad come down, stay with me for a little bit, for a couple of days, for like 2 days before the game, and we just kind of just hung out, you know. And I think that's what I've always tried to do, is just not let them, you know, not be so into the moment, right? And just kind of just focus on you and not everything else. I think that's what I've always tried to do. And it's something that I think is just better. And you don't get so nervous, or, you know, your moods aren't volatile all the time, you know?
Yeah, we've had a couple other goalies on the show. Alex Nedeljkovic, former Charlotte Checker. We had on Ryan Miller, future Hall of Famer, I would imagine. Best U.S. goalie of all time, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. How do you do that? How do you not get the moment, get to, like, you have 2 days to just mind screw yourself. You're going to play game six in the Stanley Cup Finals, your first NHL start. How can you just be like, oh man, no, you know what? I'm just going to hang out with my dad. No, like, I would be bashing my head against a wall knowing I might get one shift, let alone you're going to start a game versus the Tampa Bay Lightning. How do you do that?
You know, I don't know. I guess it's just the way, I mean, I think it's just, I don't know. I honestly don't know how you do it. I think it's just something that I've always done.
Yeah.
And I think over time, like, if you really think about it, I think nowadays is, you know, you have social media and you have all this stuff. You have the media, you have all this stuff, right? Fans, people texting you. If you took that out, you know, that the win against Tampa, it would just feel like you won a big game.
Yeah.
Like, in terms of how it felt, right? You don't see like, oh, Spencer Knight did this, or this guy did this, or like, this is how it looks, you know, this lines up, and again, with history. It's like, you take all that out, it's just like, and you never told me about any of that. It's just another win.
Do you think that's an asset or a negative to have all that stuff? Because it can... It's mostly a negative, in my opinion. Yeah. But do you have all that junk?
So I have social media and I have all that, but I don't go. I haven't been on my Twitter, I don't think, since like last year. I go on Instagram, but only on my computer. I don't have it on my phone.
That's smart.
I can't see the explore page. I only see the things I want to see. You know, I don't really follow hockey accounts. It's because that's why I've noticed since also turning pro, it's like, yeah, I mean, you get out of practice or you have a game, and then when you start looking at what everyone else is doing and playing hockey, it's like, I'm like, I want to get away from the game when I'm not
there. Yeah.
And I think that's been the biggest adjustment in turning pro from college is, you know, the hockey, when you're at the rink, you have control, right? And even if you're playing against the best guys in the world, you can learn and get better. But I've always said, you can't stop a puck from your couch, or, you know, like, you can't. And there's a lot more downtime. So you just got to find ways to not drive yourself crazy. That's basically my job when I'm not in the ring, is making sure I don't drive myself crazy.
That's a nice one.
Kind of adopted that mindset. I don't know.
Well, you've got that like mental toughness, obviously, and the cool, you know, like John said, is that, if you're thinking back to when you were a kid, is that why you picked being goalie in the first place? Was that ever an option? Were you always a goalie? How did that happen?
I was a player. So I played forward for a bit, I think. And don't know. I just kind of I liked Henrik Lundqvist because I grew up outside New York City, so I watched the Rangers, and I liked the gear. I liked being on the ice. You know. I don't know. I think that's what kind of originally drove me to playing goalie, and then I just stuck with it. And you know, I can't say, but also at the same time, I can't tell you that I've always been this calm and collected person, right? There are times where I legit will drive myself nuts, or especially in the past. And there are times where I was like, oh my gosh, like, do I really want to do this? You know? And I think that's where I learned the most is from, you know, like as a goalie, you're forced to be very honest with yourself. And sometimes you're praised when you don't deserve it. And sometimes you're scrutinized when you also don't deserve it. So
yeah,
you kind of learn to deal with this, and then being able to manage, and you're forced to manage those, what's actually something you can control and what's not. And, you know, I think I've learned from those experiences where I've let it get to me when I was younger, or let certain things bother me. And then you learn and, you know, you go through the pain, and then at the end of the tunnel, it's just, you become a stronger person. So.
Have you ever had a Jordan Binnington moment where you just want to swing your stick at somebody and just go crazy on the ice? Because he does it. He does it all the time. That guy's like a loose cannon. He lets his emotions fly. Do you ever get just frustrated? Has that ever happened? Where you're like, come on, man, pick up that guy.
You know, I've what I've always tried to do is I never, especially now I've gotten better, but I never yell or, you know, curse out, you know, a defenseman or something, or a forward that doesn't block a shot. Cause honestly, at the end of the day, you know, it's like, I've never played that level of that position. And I know how hard it is, you know, to stop in a puck. Ain't always that, it isn't that easy all the time. And when those guys are going to block a shot, you know, maybe they miss it, but at the end of the day, you know, if they tried, I'm like, you know what, I don't even care if you don't try, but you know, you do your thing, I'll do mine. You know, I get, you know what, D, I'm not perfect. Why? So if I'm not perfect, why should I, you know, be mad at a defenseman who, you know, makes a mistake. Like, everyone makes mistakes. And at the end of the day, I think that's the mindset you have to adapt as a goalie. And I've always tried to look more inward than outward. And I think that's honestly serves me better than, because then if you start pointing the finger at everyone, you're like, oh, you suck, or you, why'd you do this? It's like, then you know what, like, goalies, you got to make the hard saves, right? So learn how to do that, and learn how to look inward, and at the end of the day, that's how you'll get better. So
someone once told me, if you point a finger at somebody, you have three more pointed back at you.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what, I've been there have been times also where I've had horrible games, and I've lost big games, and you know it's your fault, but like, you know, guys will be like, hey, don't worry about it. And like, I know how that would, like, if a D-man makes a play that, and, you know, it was a determining factor in a game, I know how hard it is. And, you know, like, I'm never going to be the guy that just, you know, gets mad at them, you know?
That's nice. I've had goalies cuss me out on a bunch of occasions. It's never fun on the ice, off the ice. It's like, oh, come on, man. Like, all-star Hall of Fame goalies just tearing strips off of me. Yeah. And it's always great because you're just like, well, yeah, because I really didn't want to pick that guy up. That's what I was really – I really wanted this 2-on-1 to go this way, where I'd let the pass go through my legs. That's what I was trying to do.
Exactly. So, that's what I've always said. It's like, everyone's making mistakes. Just, you're on the same team. Like, relax.
It's so funny. So let's go back. You're from Connecticut. You probably had your pick of the litter for scholarships. You had probably had colleges banging on your door, I would imagine. Why BC? Why go to the Eagles? Tim loved it. He's from Boston. I went to Michigan Tech, which is we're a juggernaut of Michigan Tech. I know that. Why go to BC, such a small school with not a very rich hockey history?
Well, I saw that you still had your school email on the list. So
that's right.
The MTU EDU or something.
That's right.
So that was pretty funny. But, you know, I chose BC. I mean, honestly, BC was I always knew I wanted to go there beforehand. I knew I wanted to go to school in Boston. And I remember when I toured BC, I actually didn't even know that it was weird. I didn't know that they offered a scholarship to me or whatever it was. And I was so young. It was before my freshman year of high school. And I was on vacation And I flew to Boston because we had like this little combine thing for our age group at Harvard. So I was like, oh, we're going to go a day early and go look at, my dad's like, we're going to go visit BC and BU and Harvard. I'm like, okay. I literally just thought we were walking around the campuses just to look at them.
Yeah.
And I go to BC. I'm just like, and I get there and it's the first one we go to, and you know, I meet Mike Ayers, and it's like, he's like, how you doing? And he's like, I don't know. I think he went to the office to talk to Coach York, and everything just went right over my head. I didn't even realize what they were saying. Just no idea.
Well, because you're 13 years old, right? If you're like,
yeah, no, exactly. I didn't know. They're like, yeah, I guess they said like we would like you to come here and offer you like a verbal commitment or whatever. And I'm just like, okay.
What?
I didn't realize. Like, went on the tour. I don't know, I'm sure if I asked one question. I didn't know. I was just so confused. I was just like, just looking around. I was like 15, like 14, 15 years old. I mean, you know, and then.
So you're a freshman in high school.
Not even, yeah.
Not even going into your freshman, and they offer you a full ride commitment, like verbal commitment right now.
I mean, I guess. I didn't say yes or no. I didn't. I think I said nothing. Like,
did you say bot?
I probably called Coach York a bot or something like that.
Ew.
Oh yeah, but I mean, it was one of those things that went right over my head. And my dad's like, "Congrats, Spence!" Like after, I'm like, "What do you mean?" But then obviously my dad told me, and I already knew that I wanted to go there. When I feel, and you know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, my time at BC has been, those 2 years I spent there were the best 2 years of my life. I wouldn't trade it for anything, and. I honestly, I didn't want to leave. I legit did not want to leave. I spent 1 week after a season end, and I didn't really do anything, and I just was hanging with my friends. I didn't want to leave. I was.
They
fine.
Forced you to leave then, if you didn't.
They definitely didn't force me to leave. That's for sure. But it was obviously a great opportunity. But Florida's great. But I, as a person and like a human being, I did not want to leave. I had the best friends. And the best coaches, and I was literally looking for every excuse to stay. So, but
you would still be there at this point. This would be your senior year, right?
Junior year.
You would still be in your junior year, Spencer. That's scary. You committed without even knowing it, and you left early, and you didn't even want to. You have a funny life so far, Spencer. This is a very strange.
Well, you know, I don't know. Everyone's like, I mean. As I got closer to the end of the year, my sophomore year at BC, I was off. So I knew there was probably going to be an opportunity to play. And to be honest with you, I didn't even think I was going to play in the NHL.
Well, you thought there was an opportunity even after they had Bobrovsky signed for a million years at $10 million bucks.
Well, I thought my initial, you know, growing up, I was, you know, I looked at guys like Thatcher Demko. You know, they had Joe Walls at BC when I was, before I got there, and who's now with Toronto. And every goalie always went to the American League from college, right? Everyone that I watched, like, oh, you go to the college for 2 to 3 years and go to the American League. You're like there for 2 to 3 years and then you're going to the NHL.
Yeah.
That's literally what I thought it was. And, you know, after World Juniors, my agent, we were just, you know, chatting one day. He's like, you know, you could play some games maybe potentially at the end of the year. And I'm like, what do you mean? In American League? He's like, no, in the NHL. I'm like, what do you mean? Like, I'm not something. Like,
Spencer, you need to be more aware of what's going on in your life.
But like, that's the thing, though. It's never happened. I never had that person that in my time that was, you know, from the U.S. I mean, went to the NHL and it just didn't really happen. So I didn't.
Yeah.
And. You know, I don't know. And but as time went on, it was just one of those, and I got close to making that decision. I realized, you know, once you sign in the NHL, it's like, there's no more levels really to go up in.
Yeah.
And I started to, you know, think, you know, like, I mean, my dream and my goal can't be just to make the NHL anymore. It has to be something to do, you know, with, and I have to like, you know, realize that I have to, not just be striving for that, but just to strive to have fun every day and just enjoy the game wherever you are. Cause like once you get to a certain level, I realize it's still just hockey. I mean, yeah, it's a big stage, but you know, and that's when I just started to really enjoy. I took a lot. I just made sure I enjoyed every day at BC. And I think that was awesome.
So when you're signing, I actually saw something interesting, and I don't know if you've talked about it before. When you're doing your contract, you're a high draft pick. You're a 13th overall. You obviously are going to sign for the max of allowable contract. That's whatever. I get that. You have a clause in your contract where you get $1 million if you win the Conn Smythe. I've never seen that before. Was that your idea, putting that in there?
I couldn't even tell you. I don't know any of my bonuses. I don't know anything.
No kidding. Spencer, do you know how money works?
No, I don't. I that's the thing. I don't really care for, you know, I don't want to be that. I don't like to look at them. I don't really care. Like, it's just, you know, if I hit a bonus one day, great. Like, whatever. I don't even know how it works. I don't even know like what they would do if they found me the money, or like, I don't even know. I don't care. Cause I don't want to, I just want to be able to come to the rink every day and not my mind be on just having fun with my teammates and playing hockey instead of being like, I got to do this to get this bonus. Like, that's just selfish. I think that's, you know, it's not, and I just think I'd rather just play and let it come to me. And if it does, great. If it doesn't, then I want to know.
I'll be honest. If I had a bonus and I needed to get like 5 goals, I would be just sniffing the net and not back checking. I would be the
never passing
player ever. Yeah. You're a different breed, Spencer. It's really refreshing.
Well, you got to think about being a goalie is that you can't control. I can't go on the ice and get the puck. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to do this with the puck.
Yeah.
A goalie, you have to react. I can't control what comes at me. Sometimes a puck goes in and I did everything right.
Got to be frustrating.
Yeah. Well, that's just part of the position. And that's why I've taken this approach to just, I don't really look at like shots or like how many shots I'm getting or that stuff. But just because you can't, I've learned through play, you know, that's just makes, I'm enjoying hockey way more than I did when I was, you know, obsessed with, you know, like stats or this or
yeah. Like, well, you mentioned Thatcher Demko. You before we came on, you talked to Roberto Luongo. Do you watch other goalies? Do you take cues from other guys? You say you don't like to kind of look at stats, but have you modeled your game after somebody growing up, a kid in Connecticut?
You know, growing up, I was, when I was really young, was Henrik Lundqvist.
Yeah.
He was the guy that I was.
He's a hard guy to model your game after.
Yeah, I didn't model my game, but he was the goalie that got me into goaltending, if that makes sense. And then,
yeah.
And then from there, like, as I started to play the position more, I liked Carey Price a lot because, you know, he was, you know, he's one of the best. And then I also really liked Bobrovsky.
No kidding.
And yeah, it was just kind of funny. Like, when Bob signs in Florida, everyone's like, oh, Bob signed Florida. Like, I'm like, oh, damn, like one of my favorite goalies. Like the guy that I literally, you know, looked up to growing up when I was younger is now get to see him in person. That's pretty cool. And then I also like, you know, then I liked Vasilevsky, but now I'll watch maybe clips of some guys, but I'm not really like emulating my game after them now.
Yeah.
I was like, sometimes my goalie coach and I will like say, hey, you see this? And you watch it on film and then I try it maybe, but that's the thing. I think you gotta find what works for you and you can't try to be a cookie cutter of some other goalie.
Yeah, you mentioned, and I know this might be a difficult thing to speak on, but you mentioned Bobrovsky. What's that dynamic like? You come in, he obviously wasn't playing his best hockey in that playoff stretch. You play a game, that's great. What is that like? He's a veteran. He's been around the block. He's making this big money. You come in as an unknown commodity. Was he welcoming to you? Did he give you the old cold shoulder? Because that's got to be so strange. Yeah. The dynamic there has got to be so weird.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, in the beginning, I was kind of just on the taxi squad or whatever. So, like, when I would just stand in the corner for 30 minutes and then play 3-on-3 with the coaches and the taxi squad. So, I didn't spend much time in the room. But then, you know, then this year, obviously, Bob, I got to just spend a lot of time with Bob, and you know, he's an awesome guy, and that's where I get a lot of. I've learned a lot from him actually, just from the sake of. He never gets rattled, you know. He never yells. He's never breaking his stick. No matter how well or how bad, you know his performance will be. He's just very calm, collected, and he's very thoughtful, and I've learned a lot from him, and we've actually developed a pretty good relationship. So he's actually an awesome guy, and I he's a really enjoyable person to be around every day for me. He's been nothing but awesome with me. So I think, you know, I thought the heat that he caught from people last year was not deserving. I've always said, I mean, when people are like, oh, like what's Bobrovsky doing? I'm like he's still an amazing goalie. I've always said that, and I always will say that, because I see him every day, and watching a game from a goalie's view, you pick up on things. You're like, wow, like that. I think he's still a tremendous goalie, and I think he deserves a lot more credit than he's been getting. So.
Yeah, he's been in this. He's done it all. The guy's an absolute stud. I agree with you.
I think he's a stud. Yeah.
So, well, what does that mean for you then? If you have a stud for the Florida Panthers, and he's signed for another 5-6 years until 2027, what does that mean for Spencer Knight, who was a first round draft pick? They obviously have a plan for you.
Yeah.
What do you? And I know you can't be totally frank. Maybe you don't know. You'd like to stay out of these things. You just go out there and stop the puck.
Yeah.
But what, mentally, what does that do? What's the plan for Spencer Knight?
You know, the plan for me, I guess, I don't know. I think that's obviously there's in terms of who plays and when I play is ultimately not my decision.
Yeah.
Part of the reason why I signed to Florida is because I thought, you know, the people there, the management and those people were very, you know, they've always stuck to their word. Ever since I signed, what they said they were going to do, they did. And I think that, you know, I trust them. And so in the end of the day, it's one of those things that I'll work out, right? It's, you know, that's why you always look at people, and whatever happens is it happens. And it's not something I can control right now, right? Especially not this year, right? So, and it's maybe next year, not even too, like, you know, you never know. It just, whatever happens really just happens. And I think I'm just trying to take it, just be grateful for what I have, right? Just being able to be in the NHL at 20 and being able to be on the ice with, you know, the best players like Barkov and Huberto, and, you know, and get to learn from a guy like Bobrovsky. You know, I'm still not even 1 year removed from my dorm room in college, you know, eating like pizzas after a game on Saturday night and hanging out with the boy, like, you know. So I think it's just taste. They gotta slow down and just let it come to you.
Then now you're playing cards with Jumbo in the back of the plane, probably. Yeah. I'm good buddies with Jumbo. What was it like to walk into the dressing room with him?
he's all time. I mean, if there's what he's a legend. He's one of the funniest. I mean, you can't not help but smile when you see him. Like, you come to the rink and he's just all like, it's just, you're like, oh my gosh, this guy's the best. Yeah, he's awesome.
How do you think he's like helped that young room too? There's a lot of young players that haven't seen a lot of success in the past, and now they're really coming up. They're an elite team this year. How has he kind of helped that group?
You know, obviously he's been there. He's been around the block and he's seen everything, and everyone just loves him. You know, everyone just loves being around him. He's such, you know, doesn't matter who you are, he's super nice to you, and just he's laughing and joking around and makes you feel included. So I think everyone really just enjoys having him around, and, you know, he's a legend. And at the end of the day, I think that's one word you can describe him as. So.
All right. Go ahead, Tim.
I want to jump over to the World Juniors, and I'm sure you've talked about this game a bunch, so I'm not going to get into specifics, but you shut out Canada in the gold medal game, the totally stacked team, but you guys are pretty stacked too. You know, the names now that people maybe didn't know a year ago, that now is kind of household names in the world of hockey, the Cole Caufield, Trevor Zegras, Turcotte, Cam York, Boldy. Like, what do you remember from that tournament, and how good was that team? Like, what do you think, what comes to mind when you look back on that tournament?
Yeah, you know, I thought it's one of those things too. It's, you know, the year before we had a pretty, you know, big group of guys like me, Zeeks, Kaliev, Turks, Yorkie, like a bunch of guys who played the year before. We didn't medal. You know, we lost 1-0 to Finland in the quarterfinals, and so it was one of those things coming the next year. We had this teeny locker room, you know, in Edmonton, you know, just, you know. We had this like, we had guys sitting in, you know, just foldable chairs, you know, really like stuff overflowing on, you know, on And it was just like, it was a small locker room, and you know, we were just like, it was just funny because and in the end we won, and it's just like we brought it back to that small locker room, and it just, I thought, you know, there was never really a doubt in that group. I think just because, you know, I knew how good everyone was. I mean, I've been playing with Zegras since I was like 10. Like, I've always known how good he was. Like, I always knew that. And you know, it's, I've been playing it. Oh, I think it's like,
go get it if you need to.
Oh, yeah, it's probably the.
Was that a bird?
The knock on the door.
I think I'm okay
with it. It's Luongo.
I think so.
It's Roberto.
Yeah, that's living in the residence in for you. So.
That's funny.
Nice people, though. They always make my room look good. But anyways, so, but yeah, I mean, I've been playing against these guys for so long. I always knew how good they were. Like, you know, Boldy, we went to BC together, and he started off a little slow, and I think he had like only a couple points through the first half of the year. Didn't get invited to World Junior camp. Didn't play World Juniors. And I'm like, this guy's, I'm like, it was never a doubt. Like, you know what? I'm like, this, he's going through a lot, but he always remained positive. And I've seen these, but I'm like, these guys are going to be studs. And
yeah,
so that tournament was just one of those things. We had all these guys, and we're in this teeny locker room, and yeah, we come out with gold. And I think that was kind of just, there's never a doubt. I think that's the thing. I think the group knew it, and I think that's just how it was. So,
well, that's great. I was hoping you were going to lose because I'm from Canada. So whatever.
That's right.
So what's been? I always find it interesting talking to goalies. When we had Miller on, we're like, who's the hardest guy to stop? You're in a pretty tough division. You obviously play. You know, you've played against some of the best scorers in the world. Who's got the hardest shot? Who's got the best? You know, the hardest guy to pick up the shot when he, you know, letting it go, the best release. I'm always fascinated as a goalie's perspective, because we all think, well, it's got to be Stamkos or Ovechkin or Matthews. Is there a guy who you just have a hard time, you know, picking up the puck off his tape or anything?
Yeah, I mean, obviously I've played against a bunch of guys, and like, obviously Ovi's probably going to be the best goal scorer at the end of the day, going to be the best goal scorer in the world.
Not this year. He's slowing down this year. I truly think so.
I mean, you know, I think after playing against him, it's like this guy, he just has a presence, and obviously he's unreal. But there are a lot of, I mean, every day in practice, like, I think guys like Barkov or Huberto, the thing that these guys do with the puck, it's just like, I'm like, what the heck? You know, half the time, I think it's a lot of these guys, especially in Florida, like, you know, they're not as big of superstars as a lot of other guys, just because they're in South Florida and
yeah,
normally knows what hockey is down there, you know, besides the fan base. But you know, and like anywhere, if these guys were anywhere else, they'd be, I mean, I think they are still superstars, but I think it would be in 10 times more notable in terms of how the public perceives them.
Well, Aaron Ekblad, you put him in a hockey market, that guy's going to be a Norris Trophy candidate every year. Like, he's yeah, really good.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I can go up and down the lineup, like, you know, in Florida. That's the one they have learned from, you know, making the jump to the NHL. It's like everyone's got something that they're really good at.
Jumbo doesn't have a hard shot, though. He's got a bad shot.
He's actually tough to stop. He's got this weird release, and it's,
yeah.
But it's, but you know what? He can dish the puck. So
he dishes. Thank goodness he dishes, because his shot, like, he's terrible. He's got a terrible shot.
I think he's doing all right.
He's, you know, 20 years in, I think he's figured it out. I agree. Right.
I think he's figured it out.
All right, Tim, do your rapid fire questions, Tim. He's chomping at the bit, I can tell.
Yeah, we'll just do some rapid fire, just quick answers here.
Yeah.
Favorite movie?
The not so rapid questions with Spencer.
Yeah, yeah,
not he missed, so he missed the directions.
No, my mind went straight to the other guys, just because I was just watching it with a couple of the buddies in Charlotte. So, favorite movie, you know, I think in terms of comedy, say, that, the other guys, or Step Brothers, and then more serious movie probably is like Saving Private Ryan's play. You know,
what's the other guys? I've never heard of that.
It's you haven't seen that?
No,
it's pretty. It's you know, like that's Will Ferrell.
It's a cop movie. Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah,
it's a good one. All right, I'll check it out.
I didn't watch in a while, and I rewatched it, and I was like,
All right, I'll check it out. Go ahead, Tim.
All right, for tacos, hard shell or soft shell?
Soft shell, corn tortilla for sure.
Oh, ew.
No, that's the way you're supposed to do it.
No, ew is a good word.
Oh.
You guys don't even know your own slang.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I said to stick to proper English, because now no one knows what you're saying anymore. I don't even know what I'm saying half the time.
Favorite sport besides hockey?
Oof. To play, I was a big lacrosse player growing up, but now I think I like to get into golf. But
field or box lacrosse?
I was a field. I mean, where I was from is more field, so I played midfield.
I was a long pole. I played field all through high school. I loved it. I almost loved it. Cornell.
I loved it. I would look like hockey was, you know, obviously number one, but lacrosse was a close second.
Yeah.
As soon as hockey ended, I didn't touch my skates until tryouts next year or whatever it was. Like,
that's how I was. I love lacrosse.
I love lacrosse. It was great because, you know, you get to go outside. You know, it's, you know, there's higher scoring, so you're scoring goals. It's just, you know, all stick skills and running. And I loved it. I've said it, like, I mean, if I was like, maybe I should just play in the PLL or something, try out for the PLL in the off season or something.
You should. It's so fun. All right. I keep hijacking your rapid questions, Tim.
No, that's right. I can talk about lacrosse all day. I love it.
Do you watch it? The MLL or PLL?
I watched the PLL a little bit. Yeah. I'm like a big lacrosse fan. I know some people in it, and it's like you said, I don't watch hockey, and I think it's something that I've always been interested in. And I think it's cool to like watch and see the progression of it, because it's obviously a smaller sport and everyone's like, oh, pro lacrosse is nothing. I'm like, well, maybe it'll turn into something, but you know, who knows? And I think it's a fun game because I played it, so I can watch it from that perspective and really enjoy
It's such a hard sport. It's physical. You got to run like deer for a 60. Like, it's so hard to play.
I still got scars on my back from getting slashed.
Yeah, from me, because the long
pole. Yeah, long
pole. I would just
absolutely annihilate me.
6 foot lacrosse stick, Tim, and I would just reef on guys. It was unbelievable that you could get away with this stuff. Like baseball bat swing.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, good job. Like, people would be cheering me on for this. You couldn't cross check, but you could literally baseball bat swing the guy if you had the ball wherever you wanted. You always go for the shins. Oh,
I don't think you can do that anymore, but I always got like up and down my arm and my back.
Well, you pretend to go for their arm, Spencer, and you hit them right in the shin. Oh, it's ruthless.
Well, the goalies, that's a sport I would never be a goalie in.
Right. The goalies don't wear any pads.
They have no pads.
It's unbelievable.
It's insane. I mean, I don't think I would never be a goalie in lacrosse.
Yeah, that's a smart move. All right, Tim, sorry.
I like scoring, though. So.
Favorite vacation spot?
I haven't been on vacation in a while with COVID. And, you know, I want a place I want to go to is Bora Bora. I don't know. I just saw a picture of it. It looks cool.
I don't even know where that is.
I think it's in the Maldives. I don't even know. But it looks cool. Yeah.
Sounds good.
What was your favorite subject in school?
I'm still taking classes right now. But so far, in college, I really enjoyed taking and I enjoyed the business classes I took, like financial accounting. We took this business ethics class. It was fun. That was kind of cool.
You're going to try to finish it up?
Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm hoping to finish it in 2 to 3 years. So
that's what I did. So when I left, I had gone 4 years, but it took me another four to finish it. I would take classes in the summer, 2 or 3 in the summer. You're taking them while you're playing?
Just one. I got nothing else to do when I'm not at the rink.
That's true.
That's the thing. It's like, today it's like, we got lunch with some of the guys and it's like, all right, I got 4 or 5 hours to kill until dinner. So
see, that's different. When I was in the A for 3 years in Houston, we would drink every night. And we would go by the pool. We'd go to practice. We'd get a couple cases of beer. We'd get a cribbage board, and we would do that every day. It was just like clockwork, and it was so fun. It was a blast, but you don't do that anymore.
Definitely not every day. I'm not doing that. So it's, but it's nice. I think it's good to, you know, I talk to like, you know, people who, you know, are kind of either still playing or are down with their careers and are trying to finish or finished. And they're like, just try to chip away at it. And,
oh yeah. Best thing I ever did was get my degree.
Like what? Like once you stop, it's just you don't want
to. Absolutely, good for you. Sorry, Tim, I'm ruining these rapid questions.
No, these are good. The color commentary is great. Just a couple more. This is a tough one. What's something that you changed your mind about recently?
Changed my mind?
Yeah.
Like a point of view?
Yeah, something Tim. That you changed your mind on recently.
Deep thoughts with Jack Handy.
This is getting really deep.
Changed your mind about? Yeah. I wanted tacos, but I got a hamburger.
Anything. So it came up. I read about this question. So it's a really good question to ask to get to know somebody. They like learn about how they think and what they care about.
Yeah. You know, I guess you could say that what I was talking about earlier, I guess not recently, but I guess I kind of talked about more. It's like, you know, like I changed my mind on what I want, like, what's like my goal in terms of like my life at this point, of time. Like, you know, I always want to say, make the NHL and be a tremendous, like just be the best. And I still want to do that, but my mindset isn't always like I'm doing everything to make the NHL. I think now, like I want to, you know, work hard and just be the best version of me. And just try, I focus more on having fun than, you know, constantly trying to worry about being the best. And just at the end of the day, it's like people can say, oh, I want to come to the rink every day. And just, I think about being the best. I think about being the best when I'm not at the rink. And I found that I used to have that mindset. And because everyone else said to have that mindset, you want to be great. And you just drive yourself nuts. And I found myself really enjoying just whatever I'm doing, like be where your feet are, you know, like you can't stop pucks from your couch. You can't stop pucks from, you know, your room in the residence. And you can really only, you know, so just be where your feet are. And that's why I take a class. It just gets me away. And, you know, I take a more wholesome approach, you know, to life. And there's more to it than just being the best for 2 hours a day. So
I feel like I'm talking to a 70-year-old man.
I've gotten that.
He's very wise.
The sage advice of Spencer Knight, the wisdom that's just being spewed at us is unbelievable, Spencer. You're definitely wise beyond your years, and you don't even realize it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think I learned a lot and or changed my that approach like while I was at BC, just because, you know, I think I learned a lot about myself and what I want out of what I'm doing. And you know, I think I still talk to like we had a team chaplain. His name's Anthony Penna. I still talk to him probably twice a week. And I actually was over All-Star break, went back to BC and saw all my buddies, but saw him too. It's just, you know, we just talk about things and, you know, what's the bigger picture. So
it's very refreshing because a 20-year-old usually is concerned with a couple things that, you know, isn't that great to be concerned with, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. So it's refreshing to see a kid who's got his head screwed on straight. So good for you, man.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I try.
Yeah, you're doing good. Well, anyways, I will let you go back to your homework. I know that's important. And yeah, not thinking know. About hockey.
Yeah, I'm not sure what I'm going to do today. Yeah, I got to figure out my plans.
You got any, what TV show are you watching? Anything?
Ooh, I just watched that Tom Brady show on ESPN, and I'm watching Billions on Showtime.
Okay,
that's a good one. I'm trying to think what else I watched. I watched Ted Lasso. That was a good one.
So I don't have a TV. It's a lifestyle choice, but you know, I hear good things about all those shows.
What do you do?
I just think about my life. You know, I try not to think too much about things. I let things come to me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I can't watch TV while I'm sitting on the couch. You know, it's just one of those things where No, it was my wife's decision. Who am I kidding? I would love to have a TV, but she made me get rid of the TV. So that's where I'm at, Spencer.
Watching too much TV or what?
Maybe. I don't know. What do you want? You want her phone number? You can ask her.
Oh, it's kind of interesting. I'm not, like, what do you have in your, like, do you have like a big picture where a TV usually goes in, like, the living family room? Or
we, yeah, we actually do.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
A big picture, like a stupid picture that we don't
even. That's just uncommon nowadays. Usually there's a TV in about every single room. So
yeah, we put the screens away. I have six kids, so we tried to, like, just make it all about, you know, family time, go outside, tear it up a little bit, not just be glued to the screen.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
We're trying a different approach, you know, homeschooling. We're that weird family, you know?
Do it differently.
But anyway, Spencer, I'll let you go. Thank you so much for being so just genuine, forthcoming. It's very refreshing. You got a good career ahead of you, my friend. Good luck with everything. We'll be in touch along the way. Good luck this year. I expect to see you in the playoffs. Very excited to see that.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun talking.
Tim, any last words?
No, thanks for coming on, man. It's been great. Enjoy Charlotte, too.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I definitely.
You guys should hang out.
Yeah, we should.
Did we just become good. Best
friends? I don't know anybody, so.
Yeah. We're going to go get some dinner or something.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you for listening, Spencer. Thanks for being a good sport, and we'll talk to you soon. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks for listening to Dropping the Gloves with John Scott, a member of the Nation Network of Podcasts. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from to never miss an episode. Delivered by DoorDash.